Then after that, we will, well, I suppose around the Christmas time of year, what would be one woman of the Bible that we probably ought to do a study on? Mary. Who? Mary. Thank you. That would be kind of obvious, I would think. So when we get done with Ruth, we'll go to Mary for kind of obvious reasons. Anyway, Ruth chapter 3 and Ruth chapter 4 tonight will cover some of that. Let me read just a few verses to begin with in chapter 3 just to get our minds thinking. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down, and she did exactly what Naomi told her to do. Now, just by a little bit of review, we first noticed that Ruth was a very loyal person. She had made a promise to her mother-in-law, I'm going to go with you. I'm going back to Bethlehem with you. I know I'm a Moabitess. I don't know anybody there. I don't have any family there, but I'm going to go there because I'm loyal to you. Some might say she had resolve. Let me tell you something. Loyalty is a great thing. People appreciate loyalty. They really do. And you ought to be a loyal person. And quite honestly, people like people that have a little bit of resolve. People that don't quit. People that don't throw in the towel. They just have a resolve to keep on going. And Ruth had both of those. She would not leave her mother-in-law. As they went back to Bethlehem, that was Naomi's hometown, if you remember. Ruth meets... Shut that off, would you please, Marty? I got to tell you what happened. Time out for a minute. I'm up here preaching a couple Sundays ago, and I never bring my phone to church, but I went like this, and I had my phone in my pocket, and I knew I didn't shut it off. It's 8:30 Sunday morning, so I'm weighing my options. The likelihood is no one will call me, but trust me, I didn't want to reach. I was like between two hard places. I didn't know if I should reach in my phone and say, "Hang on, I got to shut this off," or if I should take the chance and say, "Well, I don't think anybody will call me 8:30 Sunday morning." Praise God, nobody called me 8:30 Sunday morning, Marty, or that would have been me. It happened to me a second time when I was preaching at a pastor's conference. I'm like, "Oh no, I don't think I shut my phone off." Well, it's like. So I chanced it. That was more of a chance because it wasn't 8:30 on a Sunday morning. Anyway, I'm just having a little fun with you. I'm having fun at your expense, you might say. Yeah. Anyhow, so what's that? No, I won't. They go back. That is Ruth and Naomi. They go back to Bethlehem. That was Naomi's hometown. And Ruth there meets a possible kinsman redeemer. She goes to the field, and she gleans after the reapers. She goes to the field of Boaz, who happens to be the possible kinsman redeemer. Go back to chapter 2 and verse 7. I won't read much of this chapter, but I'll pick up a few verses. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Well, Boaz had come along and he looked out in the field and he saw this strange woman who evidently caught his eye. And he's asking, he's inquiring, who is this girl out there? And so they tell her, and they begin, that's what they told him. Then, in verse 8, Boaz goes on, then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And so basically Boaz says, now you guys that when you're out harvesting, let a little bit fall off the side a little bit. So when Ruth comes along, she can pick that up without, you know, and that's like, okay, we get what's going on there. Anyway, she goes, Ruth goes home, and she tells Naomi all these things that's happened. Verse 20, and Naomi said unto Ruth, after Ruth had told her, said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead, And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen or near kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they may meet thee not in any other field. Now, I had mentioned, I think, last Wednesday night, the providence of God. Oftentimes, more often than not, really, we encounter God in the everyday affairs of our life. Events that seem coincidental to us are actually oftentimes God's plan in action. And right now, God was working, and this is God's plan in action. We obediently follow the Lord, and somehow circumstances around us miraculously unite to fulfill God's purpose. Ruth was doing a normal thing in Israel. She was reaping in the harvested fields. That was a normal way. If you want to eat, they didn't believe in welfare, they believed in workfare. And so the harvesters would leave some crops, they would even leave the corners. And if you wanted something to eat, you'd have to go out in the field, and you could work, and you could pick it, and you could take it home, and you could eat it. Now, I met the Lord when I was doing my laundry on a Monday morning. I wasn't looking for God. I was doing the everyday normal, everything. I did my laundry every Monday morning. That's what I did. Monday morning, I just laundry day. It's the everyday affair of our life. Those are the times when God works. Well, as we come to chapter 3, Naomi gets a little bit involved in this, as we read in the first four verses. And she says, look at what you need to do. And Naomi gave her some instructions. And Ruth said in verse 5, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Now, Naomi seemed to see it as her duty as a mother-in-law to seek long-term security for this faithful Moabite girl. She had proven her loyalty. She was loyal to Naomi. She was generous. When she went and gleaned in the field, she always brought home enough for Naomi. She was diligent. She worked hard. She stayed, as the last verse in chapter 23 says, she stayed till the end of the harvest. She was diligent. She had strength of character throughout the hot and difficult harvest season. So in a culture, and this is in America, remember, this is Israel years ago, in a culture where arranged marriages were the norm, this meant doing what she could to orchestrate a marriage between Ruth and Boaz. But because she was a woman, protocol forbid Naomi from approaching Boaz to arrange a marriage for Ruth. There is no indication that Naomi even spoke to Boaz about anything since she returned from Moab back to Bethlehem. Yet, she had an intuition about Boaz's interest in Ruth. And it seems that Boaz needed a little help to get the ball going, so to speak. It's like he noticed Ruth, he asked about Ruth, he inquired about her, but it's almost like he wasn't sure what to do after that. Now, he took an interest in her from the very first time he saw her. It never seemed to enter his mind to be the goal or the kinsman redeemer. He even said in chapter 3, and we didn't read down as far, but verse 10, because blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. You never really sought anybody else. I don't know what Boaz, why he seemed to be like he was. Maybe he had a very low self-esteem. He never considered himself anybody for marriage. I don't have any idea why Boaz was still single. But evidently he was. So Naomi, she gets things going. Now that's a bold move. But it did not involve anything unrighteous, and let me say this, it did not involve anything indecent. The harvest season was coming to an end. Boaz was at the threshing floor. Now, what's a threshing floor? It's a place outside where the breeze would blow, and it would, when he would take the grain and he would throw it up in the air and thresh it a little, the breeze would blow the chaff away, and then the grain would come down and they would have the grain. And it was actually a way to sift. The bad would go into the breeze, and the good would be there. Boaz would work late. He would sleep outside on the threshing floor, arise early, and go back to threshing. He would extend his work hours and guard his grain all the night. Verse 7 in chapter 3 says, "And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down." So he's ate, he's enjoyed his meal, he's relishing in the nice harvest of corn, and he goes outside and he lays next to a heap of corn. You know, when I worked on the farm for years when I was younger, I never slept in a pile of corn. I have to be honest with you. I've slept on the hay bales, but I've never slept on corn. It just, that is something I never thought about. Anyway, they had a good crop. All the years of famine, praise God, now Boaz is a happy camper. Ruth did exactly what Naomi said. Then in verse 8, it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid. And he turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he says, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now, Ruth is letting him know, "You're a new near kinsman to me." Okay, you got this, Boaz? So, to Boaz, this is like good news. You could almost call this a proposal. That Ruth was so upfront about this that it's almost a proposal. Now let me read again verse 10. He said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Which, by the way, the kind of woman you ladies ought to desire to be is a virtuous woman from Proverbs chapter 31. And the kind of a woman that a man ought to seek after is a virtuous woman from Proverbs chapter 31. "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I." So Boaz knew of this one that was nearer than him. "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." And so that's what happens. Boaz knew who the next of kin was, and he told Ruth what he was going to do. He had to talk to this next of kin. Verse 17, she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he to me, for he said to me, go not empty into my mother-in-law." So now he's gave Ruth some stuff. She goes back to Naomi, that shows generosity there. Nothing immoral has happened between these two. In verse 16, then said she, "Sit still, my daughter." This is Naomi speaking now. "Until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." So Boaz had already told her, "I've got to go check with the nearest of kin, or the kinsman that's nearer than I." And she goes back and she tells Naomi the whole story. And Naomi says, "Ruth, just be patient. He's going to get up today and he's going to go talk to this guy." And she was right. Boaz went to the city gate and found Naomi's next of kin. The two met in the presence of the city elders and decided who would be Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. "Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and he sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they sat down." So now they're going to have this meeting. There was to be a buyback of Elimelech's property. Now in Israel, land portions were part of each family's lasting legacy from generation to generation. Verse 4, let me read verse 3 also. "He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee." And he said, "I will redeem it." So The other relative basically says, all right, I'll buy it back. But then Boaz said in verse 5, there's a catch to this. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And I won't go into great detail on all of that there, but that changed this whole scenario. It would have put the inheritance of this man's children at risk, and it doesn't seem like he was all that interested in marrying Ruth anyways. So in verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So Boaz is like, okay, good deal. Verse 8, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Now when he took his shoe off, again, back in the days of Israel, that was a common way to seal a deal, by taking off the shoe. Verse 9 says this, Boaz said unto the elders and unto the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have brought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. The elders had sat around there. They had watched this happen, and that's what happened. Everybody loves a good love story. Verse 11. All the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And then I want you to go down to verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse and the father of David. And if you wonder how Ruth, the Moabitess, got into the line of the Messiah, there it is. She became the grandmother of David. This is how Ruth, a Moabite woman, whose loyalty and faith led her away from her own people and carried her as a stranger into the land of Israel, became a mother in the royal line that would produce the nation's first good king, David, and even in the ancestry of the Savior. That's an amazing story. And she is a fitting symbol of every believer and every church. Just a couple things. First of all, she was redeemed. She was bought back. You know, when God saves us, that's what he does to us. He redeems us. He buys us back. We're a slave to sin. But the Lord came, and he goes to Calvary's cross, and there he dies, sheds his blood, and they bury him, and he rises again the third day. And all those that call upon him are saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the blood of Christ paid their sin debt, and he bought us back. This really is the doctrinal story of the book of Ruth. Secondly, it means to brought into a position of great favor. Do you remember earlier where we read in Galatians chapter 4, where it talks about we are heirs? We have an, this is literal too, by the way, we have an inheritance that is out of this world. Brother Stiles was preaching Sunday morning, and he's 66. He says, I could retire. And then he made a few comments about not retiring and blah, blah, blah. I don't remember everything he said exactly. But he said, besides, my retirement is out of this world. Well, it literally is really out of this world. That's where our retirement is. And when not only did God redeem you and buy you back, but he brought you into a position of great favor. The favor of God is upon the children of God. It is. Thirdly, they were given great riches and privileges. Romans also talks about our inheritance. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, I think. exalted to be the Redeemer's own bride. The church is the bride of Christ, and we are specially loved by Him. I mean, this is a marvelous picture. All people need redemption because sin enslaves us. But how wonderful to know that we have a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought us out of a life and slavery of sin. And this story of redemption, it ought to make your heart glad and thankful for the one who has redeemed us from our sin. When Naomi heard Ruth's story about Boaz, she got all excited. It seemed like at first she was more excited about this than Ruth was about this. Turned out it worked out pretty well for both of them. Oh, yeah, and by the way, God did give her a son. And her grandson was King David. I mean, you talked about finding favor of God. This woman, a Moabitess, and we looked at for a couple of weeks, so I won't go back and repeat that. But man, she found the favor of the Lord. Praise God. Father, it is a blessing to be redeemed. I mean, I never get tired of hearing the story of redemption. I don't suppose any child of God does. I never get used to knowing that I'm saved. It's a marvel all the time. To know that you bought me back because I was a slave to sin. To know that you put me in a place of favor. That I have great inheritance in Christ. I'm blessed. But I'm no more blessed than any other believer. We're all blessed the same. We praise you and we thank you for the redemption that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful story of a wonderful woman. In Jesus' name, amen.